finally see the light. It's hard to know which one of us is caveman.
Okay, so from Cat Power's cover of Stay and Swamp Rockers to influences of another kind of quagmire, the role of mainstream and fringe social media sites in extremism and violence. Emory Marketing Professor David Schweidel studies the problems with social media echo chambers. And David's on the line with us. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
So, David, the links between social media and extremism, especially acute this week after the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter, a frequent user of Gab. How would you describe Gab?
Gab's been described as a platform where you're going to be allowed to have free speech with much less monitoring, much less censoring than you might have on Facebook or Twitter.
So what kind of stuff would you find on it?
Because of that, you're going to kind of get those extreme opinions. So you're going to see more racist activity, white nationalist activity happening on the platform.
So did anyone, I know people have tracked his posts. I'm wondering if you have noticed any kind of patterns in the kind of thing, and we're talking specifically about the accused shooter, Robert Bowers, using Gab.
Yeah, what we tend to see is that people are going to be drawn to other people who have the same opinions as them. And so once that opinion gets a foothold on a particular platform, it's going to start to attract others that are like-minded.
So they're not being challenged. And any evidence that these online echo chambers amplify? I mean, these are on a lot of other sites, there are little sort of clever memes that are dog whistles. This is full-on barking that we're talking about. Any evidence that that brings extremist views more to the forefront inside of a person?
Well, I think the dog whistles that you mentioned that we see kind of on the more popular platforms, that's increasingly happening. So it's coming from what we might consider the fringes, the more extreme social media platforms, and it's starting to permeate the mainstream platforms.
Well, in response to criticism lobbed at their platform after information on the Pittsburgh shooter struck, Gab wrote on Twitter, "Words are not bullets and Gab isn't going anywhere." Should any responsibility be assigned to platforms like Gab or Reddit or Twitter or Facebook in violent acts?
This is the ongoing question of, yes, they're only words, but words are indicative of what's in the minds of the people who are saying them.
Well, there is an argument of who polices them. I mean, do you think that Twitter, Facebook, obviously they've hired a lot of people to try and regulate and to look out for violations of their terms of service. But should it be the social media platforms? Should it be the FBI?
This is a tough question because the social media platforms, take a Facebook and a Twitter, they're beholden to their shareholders. Ultimately, that's who they're going to be responsible to. And so, do we trust the social media platform to do the monitoring and to protect our right to free speech, but to protect the users of the platform? Or is that the role that government has to play? And so that's an ongoing discussion that's happening.
Well, could the argument be made that it is better to know what these people are saying than to have them, in some sort of deep, dark corner of the web having these conversations?
Absolutely. The idea of monitoring social media, there's a lot of information there about what people think and potentially about the actions that they're going to take. Now, there's the safety component that would come with monitoring, but then we've also got to weigh that against the potential downside of the false positives that it might trigger.
Do you think, David, it's not obviously the first time racist or anti-Semitic views have erupted into violence in U.S. history? How have social media platforms, however, do you think promoted these views in our time?
I wouldn't say that they've necessarily promoted, that the platforms have been the ones promoting them, but the platforms have certainly enabled it. And again, it goes back to what the platforms are trying to accomplish. As consumers, we see it as a means of connecting with other people. But if we look at Facebook, Twitter, any of our social media platforms today, they're advertising platforms. So their goal is going to be to get you to spend as much time on the platform as possible and engage with the platform. And the way I'm going to do it is to show you content that I think is going to interest you. And that's where we get the development and probably the acceleration of these echo chambers forming.
Well, given that there are so many of these kind of internet trolls exercising their right to speech on platforms, do people still take these threats seriously?
Yeah, I think we've got to distinguish between what is someone just saying something online that there's no credible reason to believe is going to be acted out, and that's going to be different from a person who's saying something online, and that might be consistent with other behavior that they've demonstrated that does signal a credible threat.
Well, David Schweidel, thank you for speaking with us. David Schweidel is a marketing professor from Emory University. Have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot. You too.
And that's it for our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, LaRaven Taylor. Alex Word is our engineer. And Amy Kiley, our senior producer. You can join the conversation. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. And don't forget, we want your book suggestions for A Book at the Table. That's the hashtag ABATT. I'm Virginia Prescott. Have a great weekend. This is On Second Thought.